Hello, and welcome to the IEA podcast. I'm your host, Darren Grimes. Each week, we provide a fresh perspective that seeks to promote the intellectual case for a freer economy and society. Chlorinated chicken has become totemic once again in all things Brexit. Since most British consumers associate chlorine with the bleach they pour down their lavatories, it's a contentious issue. Minette Batters is the head of the National Farmers Union.
This isn't hysteria. This isn't mumbo jumbo. This is fact. To sign up to a trade deal which results in opening our ports, shelves and fridges to food which would be illegal to produce here would not only be morally bankrupt, it would be the work of the insane.
The warning comes as it emerged the European Union is also reportedly set to demand the UK maintains its ban on chlorine washed chicken in any future trade talks, creating a new potential hurdle to a US-UK agreement. During an appearance on the BBC's Andrew Marr show recently, the Environment Secretary, one-time farmer George Eustace, remarked that there was a discussion to be had about chicken washed in lactic acid, as the UK also uses the disinfectant on certain meats. Here he is now.
Your predecessor, Theresa Villiers, said, as you know, we will not be importing chlorinated chicken, we will not be importing hormone-treated beef. And then she said, both of these are illegal under EU law, which we are importing into our domestic system. Is that true?
That's correct, yes. So retained EU law has brought across both the prohibition on sale of chlorine-washed chicken and also a prohibition on the sale of hormone-treated beef. So those prohibitions remain in place.
And you're sticking with that as a government, despite the fact the Americans are furious about it?
Well, I'm not really sure that the Americans should be furious about some of these things, because if you look, for instance, at the poultry sector, very few American producers actually use chlorine. They tend to use lactic acid.
Perucletic acid.
They use other disinfectants such as lactic acids. Mm. And, you know, there's room for a sensible discussion here, because we also use lactic acids on some species, notably on beef. We don't use it on poultry.
So there is a compromise to be done.
George, there's a discussion
to be had. So is this all a fuss about nothing? The UK already goes further than the EU requires on employment rights and climate and environmental policy, and we have a much stronger record of food safety and standards than most member states. Does having control of regulations necessarily mean they will be relaxed or worsened? It could mean that outdated and protectionist EU rules could be changed to improve the price and quality of the products available to British consumers. A pro-EU campaign group, Best for Britain, has argued that polling reveals that most Britons overwhelmingly reject any relaxation of vital rules around food and product safety. Here's the IEA's Head of Regulatory Affairs, Victoria Hewson, addressing what we've heard so far.
Well, that polling was extremely misleading, because it was fusing both ideas of product standards and goods rules with broader level playing field measures on employment law and the environment, which is quite a misleading way of talking about the so-called level playing field measures. And of course, had they asked the question another way, if they'd asked who should be in charge of deciding what rules we have in this country, should it be the EU or should it be the British government, they may well have got a different answer. And of course, what the particular rules and standards will be going forward after Brexit is now a matter of national policy. And if people genuinely believe and value the rules and standards as they are, then that's a matter for holding our national government to account over. And actually, much more importantly, and a much better way of signalling your preferences as to the quality and welfare standards of the food that you want is to do so through the market. And that's really where consumers can make their voices heard.
The Agriculture Bill amendment, which has been added in the House of Lords, would bar the government from signing trade deals that do not require imported food to meet UK standards on safety, animal welfare, and the environment. Do you think the government should accept this amendment?
Absolutely not. It would be an extremely protectionist rule. It would be very limiting in free trade agreements. The kinds of things they're talking about, welfare standards, are very subjective. And let's recall that this isn't just a post-Brexit issue. We already import thousands of tons of, for example, chicken from Thailand and Brazil. And it's only when the prospect comes of liberalizing our laws that might allow us to import meat from the United States that suddenly this concern for animal welfare pops up, which I think tells you everything you need to know about the underlying protectionist interest that's going on here.
Turning to America then, the issue has become a flashpoint ahead of post-Brexit trade talks, especially with the Americans. Washington wants comprehensive access to the UK food market, including the removal of barriers related to sanitary and phytosanitary standards in the industry, a sign that it wants to export products such as chlorine-washed chicken, for example, and hormone-treated beef to the United Kingdom. Does this mean that the United Kingdom has become, as Best for Britain points out, a real bargain basement post-withdrawal?
No, not at all. And there are various undercurrents here, both of protectionism, but also massive amounts of snobbery and people trying to impose their middle class, sniffy, anti-American, pro-organic food sort of values over and above the concerns of ordinary people who just want to buy inexpensive, good value food. And the idea that British farmers are massively high welfare and therefore we don't need to subject the poultry carcasses to an antimicrobial wash because they've had such lovely high welfare happy lives in these, you know, luxury barns that we seem to be raising our chickens in is just not true at all. The actual practices on things like stocking densities on the high production sort of factory farms poultry are virtually identical in the UK as they are in the US. And as to the hormone-treated beef issue, that again is pure protectionism with very slim grounds in science. It was the ban on hormone-fed beef emerged after there was some strange scare about Italian children who had eaten beef that had been fed with hormones acting strangely, and actually there was never any evidence that there was any causation whatsoever with any health risk. And it's also very selective because producers in and consumers in the US could equally argue that European farmers massively overtreat their cattle with antibiotics, which in reality is far more damaging to food chains and sustainability than encouraging growth through feeding cattle with hormones. So there's many complex special interests at work here, and in reality we must, as supporters of free trade, free markets and free people, really rely on the consumer to make the best choices for what they want to feed themselves and their families. And in fact, consumers do make those decisions all the time, as you can see from the increase in the number of restaurants, supermarkets and suppliers who do make an effort to label their meat as being high welfare or British reared or free range. The labelling is making that clear and allowing consumers to make the choices in line with their preferences on these things.
Speaking of UK farmers that might well produce this high welfare meat, UK farmers believe such a loosening of standards would undercut their business. Minette Batters, president of the NFU that we heard earlier, told Mr. Eustace that when we have no assurance at all on the standard of food, that does one thing, that puts these guys, farmers, out of business. Are you concerned at all about that argument?
No, I'm not. And that's not because I don't feel sympathy for farmers who might be worried about their livelihoods. Of course I do. But what we have to bear in mind is that farmers are a producer interest, and it's very much in their interest to keep competition out of the market. However, if they were to embrace serving consumers with high value products and also what they should be doing is pressuring the government to release them from masses of bureaucracy that they face under the Common Agricultural Policy and extremely restrictive regulations on the kinds of EU regulations that are actually holding back their efficiency and productivity. And that's the real way that farming can actually be genuinely sustainable, both in an environmental sense by making land more productive, and also in an economic sense by enabling them to produce the kind of food at prices that people want to pay for it.
Mark Buckingham, chair of the Agricultural Biotechnology Council, has argued that Britain has lost out from the EU's unscientific approach to agriculture. Does this entire argument, Victoria, back that up?
Yes, it definitely does. And the practices that the EU's regulatory policies and the Common Agricultural Policy with the subsidisation has very much incentivised old-fashioned, inefficient practices, and it's made it difficult or even outright banned measures that would really bring farming into the 21st century and allow farmers to compete with producers in other countries like New Zealand and like the United States. We've seen it with the very recent cases where, for example, gene editing technology and GMO foods have essentially been banned, which is bad for the environment, bad for consumers, and mainly, in this context, bad for farmers.
Thanks, Victoria.
Thank you.
The Global Security Index found in its global rankings that measure affordability, availability, and quality of safety of food that, when it comes to quality and safety, the United States ranks 4th and the United Kingdom 18th. Yet still the concerns around quality and safety are highlighted by groups like the National Farmers Union and the Countryside Alliance. Here's their head of policy, Sarah Lee, addressing her concerns.
We have one of the most illustrious markets for food in the world. Consumers are more informed, they show more interest in the provenance of their food and how it is produced. So this is absolutely an opportunity for British farmers and producers to promote our high welfare, high quality produce. But to support this ambition, we must have country of origin food labelling that is enshrined in law so that consumers can buy produce with confidence, knowing that a British flag on food means born, reared and slaughtered in the UK. Without honest food labelling, it could be difficult for consumers to differentiate which products contain British chicken, particularly on processed foods, so ready meals, burgers, sausages, even food served in restaurants, which is why we are backing the call for country origin labelling to enable the British consumer can continue to support our fantastic producers. We strive for the highest standards of animal welfare and food safety in the world, which means we want to see all meat labelled born, reared and slaughtered to ensure that consumers can make the choice to buy British, know that it means high welfare and high quality.
In the clip we've just heard, Sarah does argue that, as a possible route to addressing the concerns by these groups, now that we've left the EU, we should be far clearer and bolder on country of origin food labelling, which would in turn allow consumers to make informed choices, knowing exactly where their food comes from. Their ideal labelling model would include location where the animal was born, location where the animal was reared, and the location where the animal was slaughtered. At the moment, this isn't the case. All in all, this is an argument that will run on and on. Ultimately, it will be up to the government to decide if it believes the arguments put forward by certain groups to keep US meat out of the UK market is thinly veiled protectionism, or whether or not they accept concerns on standards and safety. Thank you for listening. You can let us know what you think by tweeting us at IEA London. And please do subscribe to this podcast.